You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning once again, everyone. We're down to the second installment of our series called The Story of Us. If you remember last week, we started off this series, and if you're here for the first time, you're wondering what this series is. This series is basically a series on biblical anthropology. It's basically a series that talks about who we are and how we relate to God. It's the story of us as human beings, our origins, who we are, and how it affects how we relate other people and God. Now, previously on The Story of Us, on our first installment, we talked about the image of God. And we learned three important things on that first installment. We learned about our origin, our identity, and our purpose. Our origin, where we came from as humans, our identity, who we are, and our purpose. What are we here for? Three important questions that we've answered last week in our first installment. And just a quick recap, last week, talking about the origin, our identity, and our purpose, basically we've learned that man was created by God in the image of God to glorify God. Think about that for a while, church. Be reminded, be refreshed that we were created in the image of God. We were created by God, not by accident, not by chance, not by some random process in the universe, but we were purposely created, designed by God. And not just created in a way just like the rest of His creation, we were created in His image. We reflect His likeness and who He is. And we were made to glorify God. Man's chief end, man's chief purpose is to glorify God wherever he goes. Whether it's in your campuses, in your workplace, in your communities, in your families, whatever it is that you do, whatever your work is, our purpose is to bring glory to God. And we learned all of that in the first installment. We talked about the image of God. Now for our installment today, our second part of the story, last week we left off with God creating man and everything was good in all of creation. God created the heavens, the earth, and man was there. And before the seventh day, He said, everything is good. Now, we're going to take after that. What happened after that? What happened after God created man? Our title for installment for today is called The Fall of Man. And if you have your Bibles with you, kindly read them in Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to be basing mainly on these verses. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 13 and verses 21 to 24. Verse 1, it says there, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God has made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' Verse 4, 'But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' Verse 11, he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Verse 13, the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Going to verse 21, "And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. And the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim, a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life." Now, as I said earlier, we're coming after what happened in the story of creation. God previously created man and everything was good. And today, as we tackle on the second installment of the fall of man, we're going to answer two important questions. What happened and how does it affect us? If this happened over thousands of years ago in the story of creation, in the origin or the beginning of things, what does this have to do with us? And what happened that it has to do with us even today? These are two very important questions. We're going to answer it today. Firstly, what happened? Again, we're coming from the story of creation account. And in Genesis chapter 3, it says here, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" So in this story, our first two characters are basically the woman, who is to be known Eve later on, and the serpent. Now, I'm going to focus on the serpent muna. Now, who is the serpent in this story? Was he just some random animal created by God? Or kinsa ba ni siya? Now, in the Bible, in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, gives us a reference on who the serpent is. It says here, "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world." In other words, this serpent that is trying to tempt Eve is the devil. Satan himself. Whether he is possessing a serpent or taking the form of a serpent, doesn't matter. The point is, it is Satan himself trying to tempt Eve. In this story, Satan is trying to get Eve and Adam as well to do something. And when we look at who the character of this serpent is that he's known by three names in this verse alone in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It says here, he's the devil and the Satan and the deceiver. And when you roughly translate or get the meaning of those names, the devil means someone who is slanderous, meaning someone who falsely accuses another person. Satan means an adversary, the enemy, the opponent. And deceiver means to lead astray. None of those names are good names. None of those labels are positive labels. And this is the serpent. He is someone who would falsely accuse. He is someone who is an adversary of God or our adversary. He's the enemy. And he's a deceiver. Someone who wants to lead another person astray. And as we read of this story, we will get to see what he's trying to do. That he is trying to deceive and lead astray Eve and Adam. Going back to verse 1, it says here, "Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Pinasimple lang si serpent. Yun si Lord, nga, you can't eat from any tree of the garden. Now you would see the craftiness of the serpent because actually, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, God told Adam, and because Eve was not yet created that time, the Lord God commanded the man saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden." Don't say questions, the serpent. Did God say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? What did God actually say? You may eat of any tree in the garden. But in verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat." So it's not that you can't eat of any tree. There's just one tree you can't eat. Very crafty, see, serpent is trying to test or lead Eve away from the right thing. Going back to verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden." So good thing Eve knows as well. Probably it was passed down by Adam because Adam was the one who originally got the instruction from God. She knew that we may eat of every tree in the garden. But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So Eve knows what God told them. You cannot eat of this one fruit from this tree, but the rest you may do so. But the serpent said to Eve, "You will not surely die." Verse 5, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now there's this tension between what God said and what the serpent said. And that's what all temptations are. We have a choice whether we would follow what God had said to us, what His word says to us, or we choose the temptation, what it seems to speak to us. We choose what the devil is trying to tempt us with. Every temptation is a choice, whether we follow and obey God and we choose not to give in to temptation or we choose to follow what the serpent has to say. Eve here had the choice. She knew what God told them. "Hey, this is what I tell you. You can't eat of this fruit. You will die." The serpent says otherwise. You know what? You won't die. You're going to be like him. You're going to know good and evil. You'll be like God. You won't die. And she had this choice. And as we progress in verse 6, we would come to know what choice he made. It says here, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, take note that all of these positive adjectives used to describe the food. It was good for food. Parang, uy, lamig niya. It was a delight to the eyes. It was pleasing to the eyes. And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. It was something that was really nice to look at. Something that was really tempting for Eve. And the second part of the verse says here, she took of its fruit and ate. She knew what God said, but at the end of it, she chose what the serpent said. She ate it. And here's the worst thing. She also gave some to her husband, Adam, who was the original person who got the original instruction from God. God spoke to Adam originally. He knows that he should not eat of the fruit. It says here, who was with her? Adam was with her. Now, Adam might not have been with her when the serpent tempted her. But there's the thing. Adam was with her now when she was about to eat the fruit and when she ate the fruit. And nowhere does it say, and Adam stopped Eve at the last minute. And Adam remembered what God told them and told Eve, we can't eat the fruit. Or Adam rejected the fruit. It did not. So it says here, her husband was with her and he ate. Adam knew God's instruction and yet seemingly without resistance, he just ate it. Let's back up for a while. What's the whole big deal? So far in this story, we have the serpent trying to tempt Eve, eat this fruit. That begs the question, what's the big deal with eating the fruit? Does it mean it's sinful to eat fruit? That's not the point. The sin here is not eating the fruit. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, we can take up from this and process what's the big deal with the whole eating of the fruit thing. And why did it have such dire consequences? Here's the thing. In verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, if you remember, that's what the serpent said. The serpent told Eve, you won't die. You're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil. Now, here you get to see the craftiness of the serpent. He says here, he's very crafty. That beneath the layers of lies that he spoke, he had this one grain of truth. That yes, when they ate of that fruit, they had knowledge of good and evil. They knew what was good and evil. Now, it didn't make them like God, that they become God-like, that they elevated their status. But here's the thing. They were already made in the image of God. Remember in the story of creation, when God made man, he made them in his likeness, in his image. They didn't need to eat the fruit to be like God per se. They were special amongst all of creation. They reflected who God is. And Eve missed out on this. You see, deceiver as a serpent. They were already made in the image of God. And yet, they were deceived into thinking, you can be like God as well. But what in this verse is trying to tell us, when God said, the man has become like one of us, it means the man is able to know good and evil. Now, the fruit did not magically give him that knowledge to become good and evil. But here's the thing. When they ate the fruit, they did not simply become aware of evil because intellectually they knew what was right from wrong. I mean, God told them, don't eat of this fruit. So they know that was wrong. But they experienced evil as well to the extent that they became evil. Remember, God said, you can't eat of this fruit. They know that in their minds. Okay, bad knee, wrong knee. It's kind of like when you were younger, your parents told you, don't put your finger in the plug. Ayaw pag ikap-ikap sa plug. You know it's wrong. But for Adam and Eve, they didn't just knew of it intellectually. They got to experience it. They got to experience it. They ate of the fruit to the extent that when they experienced it, they became evil. Now they knew firsthand what's good and what's not because they experienced it and they became it. And in verse 7, you see the effect here. Then the eyes of both were open. If you remember, that's what the serpent also said. Your eyes will be open. Their eyes nga were open. They knew that they were naked and they were sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Their eyes were open. They realized or they came to know what was good and what was evil. Now again, craftiness of the serpent. He hid some kernels of truth behind layers of lies. Yes, naopen ang eyes nila. But what the serpent didn't tell Eve was the cost it was going to take for them to have their eyes open. Eating the fruit as an act of disobedience against God was what gave Adam and Eve the knowledge of evil. It was not the fruit magically giving them superior knowledge. It was eating of it out of disobedience towards God. It was eating of the fruit willfully, willingly, disobediently, that gave them the knowledge of God. Wait, this is evil. In other words, man disobeyed God's command deliberately. When we say disobeyed God's command, Adam and Eve chose of their own free will to disobey God and eat of the forbidden fruit. Yes, they were tempted by the serpent, but the serpent never threatened them with kananing fruit or else kanong tikaw. Kananing fruit or else pa akong tikaw, you'll be poisoned. No, the serpent simply tempted them. Who made the decision, who made the choice willingly, it was Adam and Eve. Worse kang Adam, because he knew what God instructed them. They ate of the fruit of their own free will. And here's the thing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 gives a picture of what sin is. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is basically going against God's instruction. Every time we disobey God, we go against God, we sin. And this is what happened in the story of creation. When the fall of man happened, they disobeyed God, they went against God, and therefore sin entered into the world. And this answers our first question. What happened in the fall of man that affects us here today? Sin entered into the world. Mankind, Adam and Eve, sinned against God. They disobeyed God. Man fell. That's the first part of the story. Man fell. The second question is, how does this affect us today? All right, this happened to Adam and Eve, but what does it have to do with me today? In our modern day times now, what does this have to do with us and how does it affect us? Why is this such a serious thing? Before we get back to the story, let me share a couple of verses from Romans 5. It says here, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, that is through Adam. If you ever wonder, did really sin came into the world through Adam and Eve? Yes. The Bible says in Romans 5, sin entered into the world through Adam. Verse 19, for us, by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Here's the first bad news when it comes to sin and how it affects us. We are all sinners. This involves every one of us. Whatever is your status, whatever is your background, whatever is your age, your gender, your nationality, wherever you come from, here's the thing about sin. It all affects us. It all made us sinners. Through the sin of one man, the many were made sinners. Romans 3:23, it says, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. Meaning, it doesn't matter if you say, I'm not like the people in the news. I'm not a terrorist. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I'm not a serial killer. I'm not like Hitler. We always compare ourselves to someone we feel like is worse than us. But here's the thing. The Bible doesn't say that sin is just this level of sin. There is no level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of sin. Whenever it's sin, that's sin. The Bible says we are all sinners. It doesn't matter if all 7 billion people in the world would give you an award and say, you know what, we're the best person in the world. Compared to all of us, you're better than us. It doesn't matter. We are all sinners. In some way, we are all in this together. We're all in the same situation. It doesn't matter how you were born. As a descendant of Adam and Eve, when we got born, we inherited this sin from Adam. We are all sinners. Now, if you remember, last week we talked about that man was created by God in the image of God to glorify God. But here's the thing, because we are now sinners, because of the sin that entered into the world and corrupted all of creation, especially us, sin distorted the image of God in man. Kung before, we were made by God perfectly. We were made in His image that we would reflect the character of God in His likeness and glorify Him. Now, because of sin, we have been distorted. We cannot properly glorify God the way we should have. Sin distorted the image of God in us. It has become easier for us to sin, that is, to follow God. Because it's our nature now to sin. It is this distortion of the image of God in us. That is the reason why there is much suffering and pain and why it's so easy for us to hurt one another. Perhaps last week, if you were talking about the image of God in us, you're wondering, ano, kung kritin the image of God go? Ano, marag baldito kayo ko? Ano, it's so hard for me to honor God. Why do I have these struggles, these temptations in my life? Why do I have these challenges? Why is it so hard for me to do good things? If ever you face that, if ever you follow that, that is because of the sin in our lives. That's why it's so easy for us na magkaaway tayo with one another. That is why if you look at the news out there, there's so much pain, suffering, problems out there. People fighting one another, all these wars. Why there's so much hate with one another? Why we can't respect one another? Because we know that each of us has been created by God. It's because of this distortion of the image of God in us. That we look at ourselves differently and others differently as well. Sin distorted the image of God in us. Now going back to verse 8, says here, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. After they had sued fig leaves, they eaten of the fruit, they were ashamed. They were guilty. And when they knew that God was there, they hid from God, even though there's no way you can hide from God, but they still hid from God. And here's the thing, the entry of sin into the world led to a loss of fellowship with God. As we will come to realize all the more in this story, this hiding from God was but the start of that separation between God and man. Adam and Eve, they didn't want to be with God because they were afraid. Now God knew where they were because He is God. In verse 9 says here, the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Not that he didn't know where they were. He's God. He's omniscient. But he was asking them, "Where are you? What state are you in?" In verse 10, Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Now this wasn't the real reason why he was afraid, Gangahad. Yes, he was naked. Yes, he felt ashamed. But there was something else deeper here. And God knew. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? How did you know that you were naked? How did you know that it's wrong to be naked or what? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" God confronts Adam in what he did. And Adam responds strangely to God and he says, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." Adam said to God, "You know what, God? The woman whom you gave, ikaw, gave me the fruit and I ate of it." Now here comes the finger pointing now. Man is pointing to Eve and pointing to God and says, "It's her fault and you gave me this woman, so it's your fault, Lord." Adam is finger pointing, not taking on the responsibility. Remember, kinsa giing ng dilim eats a fruit. It was Adam originally. And yet, he points the finger to Eve and to God. In verse 13, the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And Eve points to the serpent naman. "The serpent tempted me." Nagpoint. Now after this, God proceeds to punish all three of them. God punished Eve that she would experience pain in childbirth. For Adam, that he had to work the land for him to get food. Before, he could just eat anything in the Garden of Eden. But afterwards, because they would eventually be cast out from the garden, he had to work the land. And for the serpent, he had to crawl in the earth for the rest of their lives. The culmination of this punishment, Adam and Eve, came when they were cast out from the garden. It says here in verse 23, "Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." God casted out Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Man was separated from God. But this physical separation tells of a much more tragic separation. That is our moral and spiritual separation from God. Because again, man had sinned against God. Man disobeyed God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 speaks of what happens because of our sins. It says here, "But your iniquities, your sins, your wickedness have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." Our sins have separated us from God. If you're here today and you ever felt like there are times you felt distant from God, you felt like you just couldn't feel God, Some of those times, it's the sin in our lives that makes us feel distant from God. Now, going back to the story of creation, originally, that was the reason. Sin separated us from the love and the presence of God, from the Garden of Eden. Eden and Eve were cast out from that garden. Then you might ask, why? Couldn't you just have stayed there in the garden with God? Think of your old science experiment of oil and water. Oil and water, we all know that they don't mix. Basta i-shake pa nimo ang oil and water, they won't mix. After that, it will separate. And it's the same thing with sin and with God. You see, sin and righteousness cannot coexist together. They can't go hand in hand together. Here's sin and here's righteousness. No, because God is holy and man is not. Because God has not sinned and man has sinned. They can't exist together. Because God is just. God is holy. No amount of sin can exist with God. He's so pure. He's so holy. Di pwede kuyog ang sin with God. And therefore, man had to leave. Couldn't be in the presence of God. And that's the saddest thing with this effect of what happened when man fell. Man was separated from God. It all made us sinners. We were separated from God. You might ask, so what if you're separated from God? Genesis chapter 3 verse 19 says, going on with the story, "But the sweat of your face," is God talking to Adam, "you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." What's the other thing that happened because of the sin of man? Death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Remember when God said to Adam, "When you eat of the fruit, you will surely die." They both knew it. The serpent tempted them. "You won't die. You'll open your eyes. You'll know what is good from evil." And yes, they opened their eyes. They knew what was good and evil at the cost of their fellowship, their relationship with God. They sinned while doing so. But here's the lie of the enemy. The serpent said they wouldn't die. And yes, it didn't happen immediately. Siguro when Eve ate it, parang, "Uy, wala akong namatay. Okay na siguro ni." But later on, they did die. When we say the wages of sin is death, it's not just physical death. Now, yes, we die physically, but also spiritual death. To be eternally separated from God, from His goodness, to be in hell. That's the worst thing about what happened when man fell. When man sinned against God, he was eternally separated from God. At first, it was a physical separation cast out from the Garden of Eden, but it speaks of a more grave separation, our moral separation from God, the effect of which was spiritual death. And when we would die, we would be separated from God eternally. It doesn't matter how good we think we are. It doesn't matter how many good deeds we did. Romans 23 again says, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned. That was the worst thing. For the wages of sin is death. Every time you sin, it's death. No matter what good you did, every time you sin, it's still death. It's like nakai-utang na din mo bayaran. It's like having a debt that the interest keeps increasing. That's the worst thing there. To recap, evil, sin, suffering, sickness, and death have plagued the world ever since. Ever since the choice of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve's decision results in every person being born with a sin nature, a tendency to sin. Because of what Adam and Eve did all those years ago, it affects us today. Because we are their descendants. We are human beings. We are sinful in our nature. And because of our sins, we are separated from God. We get to experience death. That's why it affects us today. Now, if that sounds sad, yes, it is sad. It's tragic. Now, I could just end the story here. That's the end of the story. God sent Adam and Eve away. That's how amazing God is. In His mercy, His kindness. Genesis chapter 3 verse 21 says, "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." remember, Adam and Eve were naked. They used fig leaves to cover themselves. And they still felt ashamed. And here God made garments from animal skins. God clothed them to cover themselves. Now what we have here is pretty much a foreshadowing of what God is going to do to redeem mankind. You see, in this chapter, the same chapter, chapter 3, we get the fall of man. But also in this chapter, we see God lay the seeds of His plan to redeem all of mankind. Because He is God. God was not surprised when this happened. God was not like, nah, sayup si man. Takan pala ko. I should not have made man. God knew this was going to happen. He's omniscient. He is God. Nothing surprises God. And in His wisdom, He had a plan in place to redeem mankind. Man was found and clothed by God. There's a certain tragedy to what happened in this story. Mankind fell. But church, I don't want us to leave this sermon or leave this service saying, hopeless ko, sinner ko. No. Be convicted of your sin. Know that sin is grave and it has weight. It's disobedience. It's blatant rebellion against God. But this is the thing. There is hope. When man sinned against God, God did not give up on man. God laid the foundation of His plan to redeem mankind. Man was found and clothed by God, and this laid for His future plan of redeeming mankind through Jesus Christ. If ever wondered why Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins, it's all part of God's plan. I don't want to get ahead of the third installment, but basically, to wrap this up, sin opposes the very work of God. And that's why the Son of God came opposing the very work of sin. Jesus came to oppose, to remake, to undo the very damage sin had done to us. What sin distorted in us. What sin corrupted in all of creation. Jesus came to oppose that. And how He did it, and all the details about it, we're going to talk more of that next week. We talked about the redemption of man. For our third installment, to be continued. But for now, I want us all to take this truth, this hope with us. That we don't have to feel defeated. If you have a sin issue, a challenge in your life, here's the thing. You don't have to feel hopeless and defeated. Jesus came into the picture to oppose the very work of sin in your life. So if you're here today and you feel challenged about something, look to Jesus. Find strength in Jesus. Trust in Jesus to overcome that sin in your life.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.